I want to welcome all of you here today. We do have visitors, and I echo that same sentiment that we're so glad to have you here, and we care so much for you. We are here to worship our God, wonderful, magnificent, the most high and holy God. And we're thankful to be able to have this great privilege to come together as His children, as His church, and to meditate and think about the great and precious things that are found in His Word. And Lord willing, today we'll be able to accomplish something that will help us in our day-to-day lives to live good and pleasing and acceptable in His sight. And that's what really does matter. This morning, I'd like to talk with you about conclusions. Reaching conclusions is the title of our lesson this morning. And when we think about reaching conclusions, that's something that every single one of us does. On a day-to-day basis, we reach conclusions. We conclude the night before what time we need to get up in the morning in order to get to work on time. And when we make good conclusions, we please our bosses. I'm overweight. And so I conclude that if I eat less, I'll lose weight. But we have to learn that our conclusions, they always are either right or wrong. And there are, at the end of every conclusion is a consequence. You know, if we weigh all of the facts, if we put in all of the variables when we come to conclusions, there is a greater chance that conclusion will have a good outcome, that it will be a, quote, good and correct conclusion. But if we allow our bias, or if we allow facts, if we just dismiss information as it's not important, there's a greater chance that the conclusions which we come to will not be correct. You know, there's examples in many areas of our lives, both men and women, and all throughout the Bible. When I was a young boy, I went to the local Alpha Beta store in California, and I concluded that nobody was watching. I concluded that I was more crafty than everybody in that store, and so I took a candy bar and just slipped it into my pocket and walked out the door. My conclusion was wrong. And I felt the weight of a manager's hand on my shoulder as I walked out the door. The consequence, of course, was a lot of trouble coming before me. My wife and I, Sharon, we took a sister to the Cleveland Clinic. We promised we'd get her there. She had an important doctor's appointment. And so we concluded that we go to Cleveland every day. It takes a half hour to get there. So we picked her up a half hour early. But we forgot that it was rush hour. And so she was late and had to reschedule. Every conclusion comes with that. When I was younger, I had a business where I built wood products, and I was making a custom desk for a man. And I concluded that if I held the pieces of wood and cut them over the blade of the saw with my hand, it could go quicker and I could get the job done quicker. And as a result, I have one less finger. The right conclusion would have been to use a clamp. You see, we make these conclusions, and oftentimes we pay the consequence for not coming to the proper conclusion. And so we should learn from our life experiences that there are always consequences at the end of our choices, our conclusions, and learn that the more effort that we put into making good decisions, the more facts that we accumulate, and the more variables we bring into the picture, the greater the chance that our consequences from our conclusions will be favorable. And so today, our goal is to come to an understanding. We want to come to an understanding about the right and the wrong processes for making conclusions. And we want to look at this. Reaching wrong conclusions comes with three things that I felt were fundamental to making conclusions. Bias, when we're talking about wrong conclusions, a lack of information, and dismissal of pertinent facts, just laying it aside, saying, I don't care what that is, I'm just going to go and do what I want. And so when we think about the first one, bias there, and we think about our past experiences and how they envelop what we decide and why. In Galatians chapter, or Matthew rather, chapter 25, and in verse 24 in the reading this morning, if you notice and remember, there were three men in the text, and they were given five, two, and one talent. And in the text, two of those men came to really good conclusions, and one of them did not. If we look here at Matthew chapter 25 and in verse 24, we see that there were facts that were dismissed. Then he who had received one talent came and said, Lord, I knew you were a hard man, reaping where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered. Now he had these facts. He knew that the Lord was a hard man. But what did he do with those facts? He dismissed them. If he had included those in his process of coming to a conclusion, he would have thought, boy, this is a hard man. And I know that he's going to reap where he hasn't sown and gather where he hasn't scattered. What would he have done? He would have done like the other two men, wouldn't he? He would have gone out and at least got another mina. But that didn't happen. And as we look at the text, those two men, they did something with what God had given them. They came to the right conclusion. We need to work. We need to do something. And as a result, they both heard the words, enter into the joy of your Lord. But this man didn't hear that. In Galatians chapter 1 and verses 13 and 14, the Apostle Paul says, you've heard of my former conduct in Judaism, how I persecuted the church of God and went beyond measure and sought to destroy it. He said, I advanced in Judaism beyond many of my contemporaries in my own nation, being more zealous for the traditions of my fathers. He was making decisions based upon his father's decisions or processes, all the men before him. And that made him biased, and he made the wrong decisions. In Acts chapter 22 and verse 4, he said he persecuted the way to death. He persecuted Christians even to death, binding and delivering them into prison, both men and women. He came to the conclusion that this way was the wrong way. But you know, I don't believe he entertained their way. He was zealous for the traditions of his fathers. And so he came to the wrong conclusion. Paul's past had an effect on how he came to conclusions. In Acts chapter 26 and in verse 9, the Apostle Paul said, I indeed thought myself I must do many things contrary to the name of this Lord Jesus of Nazareth. And so he came to those conclusions based on the zealousness of the traditions of his fathers. He came to those conclusions based on the fact that what he was doing seemed to be right in the eyes of all of the people that, within his circle. But you know, they were wrong. We all know they were wrong. Because he made conclusions based on the past and not on the present, not on information. And we know that when he met Jesus on the road to Damascus, his conclusion changed. He had new information. And he ended up being a wonderful evangelist, a great preacher for Christ. Secondly, we're allowing our feelings to be a foundation for conclusions. If we do that, we're likely going to be wrong. Our feelings are not a good source for the way in which we should make conclusions. In Matthew, again in our text, 25 and verse 25, he says, I was afraid and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Look, there you have what is yours. He let fear drive his conclusion. He's already made one mistake because he didn't conclude that because of this Lord being who he was, I should be out doing something. Instead, he hid that treasure. He hid that talent in the ground. And so he came to this conclusion out of a fear. His feelings caused him to do that. His feelings caused him to make this mistake. And when we think of this, Jeremiah chapter 17 and verse 9, we hear that the heart is deceitful above all things. It's desperately wicked. That's the heart. That's where our feelings, what we call the heart, the Bible mind, that's where our feelings and our emotions come from. Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 12, Solomon wrote that there is a way that seems right to a man. Our feeling, I just feel like this is the right way to go. I felt like holding that board on the saw was the right way to go. And guess what? I'm missing a finger. In the case of our hearts leading us astray, that way leads to death, spiritually. You know, when we think about this and the way in which we allow our feelings, Judas felt like he could just go out and for 30 pieces of silver, I'm going to betray the Lord. They'll spank him a little bit and they'll let him go and I've got 30 pieces of silver. Wrong conclusion. What happened? Those 30 pieces of silver he ended up throwing down. He never kept them. And in the end result, he hung himself. Betraying the Lord was the wrong conclusion. And when you think of him and you think of so many people, Uzzah. Remember Uzzah and the ark is on the cart and the oxen, they stumble, the cart starts to tip and Uzzah touches the ark. It seems like the right thing to do, but it was the wrong conclusion. Because he didn't weigh what God had told them. Don't touch the ark. And we can make these conclusions so quickly. Oftentimes the problems that we have is that we make conclusions about our eternal life. We make conclusions about our day-to-day lives and how we're going to do this or that. And we do it without weighing all the facts. And then we allow our feelings to get into that. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and in verse 5. We need to understand that our feelings are a very poor standard for coming to conclusions. Paul writes that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Right? That's where it should be. When we trust God through His Word, when we trust the things that God has commanded us, then we will most likely come to the right conclusion. And the more you study the Bible and the more you add to your faith and the more you grow in faith, the conclusions that you make will be based upon the mighty God of creation. It'll be based upon the Word of truth. And how much more perfect can you be to come to a right conclusion about spiritual things? The third thing is family history. And we talked about Paul and how he allowed his history and his background to interfere with coming to a good conclusion. In Luke, in chapter 3, in verses 7 through 9, we read about people who, the Jews who were hearing the words of Jesus and they were claiming that John the Baptist, and John the Baptist is preaching about Jesus. And these people, John the Baptist makes an astounding statement here. And it's like he knows their hearts. And in verse 8 of this text, Luke chapter 3, verse 8, John the Baptist says, "Do not begin." He says, "Do not begin to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our father.'" Don't even go there. Don't draw that conclusion. Because Jesus Christ will be or is your Savior. And you need to follow Him. You know, some people would say, my parents are in such and such a church. My parents are this way religiously. But the fact is, we need to be following Jesus. Your grandfather may have been one who was an elder or a preacher, and he built the church. But Jesus is your master. Now, if you're drawing the right conclusion, you're going to follow the master, not your grandfather. My dad may have been a great teacher in the church, or your dad, and he may have written many books and taught many classes, but your Lord is Jesus. And when you draw conclusions, do them based upon your Lord. It's all about Jesus. It's all about His power. He is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. He is God. He is the one that God used through all things to create all things. He is the one that we're supposed to hear Him speak. And so everything that we do to come to a conclusion should be based upon Jesus, His Word, that lamp unto our feet and that light unto our path. In John chapter 1, and verses 35 through 37, it's a time when Jesus is on the scene, and John chapter 1, verse 36, John the Baptist is standing there, two of his disciples are with him, and what does he say? He said, "Behold the Lamb of God." Behold the Lamb of God. And what happened when he said that? Are you listening? This is what happened. Those two disciples, they followed him. Right? And he's going, and he got Peter and James and John and Andrew and all those, and just they followed him. Why did they do that? They left their fathers and parents. They left their boat and their jobs, and they followed Jesus. They came to the conclusion that John the Baptist was right. Jesus was the Lamb of God. Jesus was the Messiah. Jesus is going to be the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He's the one we need to follow. They came to the right conclusion. They weren't like the man in our text, who had all the information he needed but drew the wrong conclusion out of fear. And you think about these things. If you want to draw the right conclusions concerning your soul's salvation, ask Jesus. Ask the Word of God. Put all your trust in Him and not in man. And as we look at this, there's a second point: lacking information, missing pieces, misinformation. As we look at this and you think of Matthew chapter 25 and in verse 26, the Lord said to him, "You wicked, lazy servant, you knew." There it is. He says, "You knew." You know what that man was lacking? Common sense. You know, I'm going to go to work today, and I know my boss, and he wants me to do work, and he wants me to work hard, and I'm going to go there and just sit in a chair. Common sense says your boss is going to fire you. Right? Common sense. This man, Jesus said to him, "You wicked, lazy servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown, and gather where I have not scattered. And so you ought to have deposited my money with the bankers, and at my coming I would have received back my own with interest." But you know, this man was like the man who in Luke chapter 19 and verses 20 through 23, he's a very similar account with the minas. And this man took his mina and hid it, he wrapped it up and hid it in a handkerchief. Wrong conclusion. Both of these men, they were lacking common sense because they knew. You know, the Bible has 66 books in it. 39 Old Testament, 27 New Testament books. It's that big. And it teaches us all the pertains unto life and godliness. Everything that we need to know about living righteously and being saved and being in Christ and being functioning and working in His church. It's all in the book. The answers to the greatest question, what must I do to be saved? It's all in the book. Common sense says that all you got to do is read the book. But what do? They draw the wrong conclusion and they listen to other men. And therefore they're missing pieces. It's like those puzzles that you buy and there's no picture of the puzzle. They just give you all these pieces and you start putting the pieces together and you don't know what the picture is until you get it all together. You get it half part of the way done and you go, oh, I think it's a bird and a seagull in the ocean. And then you find out, no, it's not a seagull, it's a lighthouse. You see, the Bible is full of information and we need to put all that together in order to draw. Common sense tells us that there is more to being saved than what the world says. The world says, ask Jesus in your heart, you're saved. Why do we have a book this thick, 66 books in all, if all we got to do is ask Jesus in our heart and we're saved? Go live your life and enjoy. That's a very poor conclusion, isn't it? There's no common sense there. And as you think about that, misinformation is also a problem. You know, many people in this world today, they believe that Jesus is going to come back and set up a kingdom upon the earth. A physical kingdom. He's going to come back. He's going to come and reign for 2,000 years or 1,000 years, and then He's going to set up a kingdom a little later. Well, they get that because they misuse or mishandle, or they take pieces of the Scripture, but they use them as misinformation. In the book of Daniel chapter 2 and in verse 44, we read about the kingdom of God, that He'll set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed. And so people say, see, He's going to set up a kingdom that will never be destroyed. And they're thinking physical kingdom. In Daniel chapter 7 and verses 17 and 18, the same kind of thing happens. He talks about the great beasts and which are four and four kings, and they rise out of the earth, and the Most High shall receive the kingdom, possess the kingdom forever and forever and ever. And so there it is. He's going to set up a kingdom. But the Jews of Jesus' day, they were lost in their misinformation just the same as people today, because they're looking for a physical kingdom and they're not looking at this as a spiritual kingdom which will last forever and ever. It'll never be destroyed. It's the only thing that will be delivered up to God in heaven after all things come to an end. Scripture tells us that in the book of John chapter 6 and in verse 15, that Jesus perceived that they, the Jews, were about to come and they were going to take Him by force and make Him a king. They came to the wrong conclusion. And Jesus departed again from them and went on a mountain by Himself alone. And you know what happened? Their wrong conclusion separated them from their Savior. It's so important to make the right conclusions. Even the apostles, the disciples in Acts chapter 1 and in verse 6, they were a little confused too, because they asked Jesus, will you at this time restore the kingdom of Israel? And they didn't understand. And people still, you know, they misinform. They read Revelation chapter 20, verse 4. They read about those saints that will reign with Jesus 1,000 years. That's all it says. But well, you know what they read? They don't read. They listen to other teachers, false teachers, who say He's going to reign with Jesus 1,000 years on the earth. On the earth. Wrong conclusion. Why? Because it doesn't say that. Your teacher may say that. Some evangelist on TV may say that. Some book that you read may say that. But the Scriptures doesn't say that. It doesn't say anything about the earth. In Romans chapter 3 and 4, we read, let God be true and every man a liar. That's what we need to do. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 16 and 17, we know that Jesus is not going to come back and set up a literal kingdom. We know that He's going to come down from heaven. He's going to raise the dead first in Christ, and then we who are alive together will be raised up with Him in heaven and in the air, and there we will be with Him evermore. It doesn't say anything about Him being on this earth. It doesn't say anything about a literal kingdom. It's not going to happen. And we know that because we draw the right conclusions. But misinformation, a lack of common sense, and then, of course, we dismiss the pertinent facts. It's not on the earth. And we can ignore that and say, well, my teacher said it is, and he's really smart. Wrong conclusion. Let God be true in every man. Dismissing these facts, ignoring evidence. Matthew chapter 25 and verse 14 through 30. Remember what we're reading. There was 5 talents given, 2 talents given, 1 talent given. We have that. 2 of those men turned the 5 into 10 and the 2 into 4. We have that. That means they were working. They weren't ignoring the evidence that that third man ignored. And as a result, the Lord said, enter into the joy of your Lord. He called them good and faithful servants. We can't ignore that and learn from this lesson. We've got to take it all. Remember, consider the people in Israel, how they didn't consider literally the evidences of God working in their lives. In Exodus chapter 14, Exodus chapter 14, verse 11. What did they say to Moses? Because there's no graves in Egypt, you brought us out here to die in the wilderness? Are they forgetting something? In Exodus chapter 17, they said the same thing. The people thirsted for water. And so what? You brought us up out of Egypt to kill us and to let us die from thirst and our livestock and our family? Are they forgetting something? How are they drawing those conclusions? What is it they're ignoring? What's the evidence? Well, here's what they're ignoring. That God saw their oppression. He heard their cries. And He freed them and led them out of the land, out of Egypt in bondage, the land of milk and honey. That was the promise. The miraculous plagues that God had brought forth to defeat Pharaoh and cause him to let the people go. Would they forget that? Did they forget the fact that God took them by the hand and had taken them out of bondage and free into freedom? Did they forget that He provided that pillar of cloud during the day and the pillar of fire at night to lead them? Did they forget that He parted the Red Seas? And that the Egyptian army was defeated? What is it that they're ignoring? And what are we ignoring when we think about our soul's salvation? In Hebrews, if you turn to Hebrews chapter 8 with me, here's the process. Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 9. Think of the subject here. We're talking about coming to the proper conclusion based on facts. Coming to the proper conclusion based on all the variables, and being able to come to a conclusion that's good for our lives, great for our souls. But what happened here in Hebrews chapter 8? As you look at this, God makes a covenant with their fathers. And it tells us that He took them by the hand and led them out of the land of Egypt. So the consequence of ignoring that was because they didn't continue in God's covenant. They made a choice not to obey God. Jesus learned obedience for the things which He suffered, but these people chose not to obey God. As a result, notice what it says there at the end, God disregarded them. So when we're making a decision whether to obey God or not, remember there's eternal consequences. If you make the wrong decision based on your feelings, your emotions, your past experiences, your family relationships, and so on, you're going to come to the wrong conclusion and you will be disregarded by God. And next we see that disbelief plays a role. In Matthew chapter 13 and in verse 58, there was disciples who came, and there was a man's son who was possessed by a demon, and they tried to cast out this demon and they couldn't do it. And later they came and Jesus came on and the scene, and they came to Jesus. Why couldn't we cast him out? What did Jesus say? He said, because of your disbelief. Because of your disbelief. And in Matthew chapter 13 and verse 58, Jesus, in the town of Nazareth, his own town, he did not. Now I want you to notice in the text there, it doesn't say he could not. You see that? Matthew chapter 13 and verse 58. It doesn't say Jesus could not. That would be drawing the wrong conclusion. It said Jesus did not many works there because of their unbelief. And so what we understand there is their conclusion was they weren't going to believe Jesus. These signs, wonders, miracles, all these things that Jesus... But they're not going to believe Jesus. He's not the Messiah. He's some magician, some trickster. And because they didn't believe him, Jesus chose. He did not do many mighty works. What's going to happen in your life? You accept Jesus for who he is. He's the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Savior. He's sitting at the right hand of God right now. He died on the cross. His blood was shed to save your souls. Come to the conclusion that he is the only way, truth, and the life that will lead you to the Father in heaven. That's the right conclusion. But if you choose not to believe, if you choose unbelief, he can't work in your life. But just think, when you open that door, what wonderful blessings that come from God. All the mighty things God can do in your life. Just open the door of belief. The mistake is disbelief. My own father was not a particularly religious man. But the one thing that he taught me that I'll never forget is you can if you believe. You know, Paul said, I can do all things through him who gives me strength. I can if I believe that. Don't be a child of God and repeat those words and then just continually don't, I can't. That's the wrong conclusion. Don't be a child of God and repeat those words. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. And then walk in defeat and not victory. You see that? You can't draw the wrong conclusion. There's something about not believing that limits us in our lives. Causes us to draw the wrong conclusions about ourselves, about the power of God. Those disciples couldn't heal that demon-possessed son, but Jesus did. He did. And then he told them, all you needed was a faith the size of the grain of a mustard seed, and you can move mountains. I can do all things through him who gives me strength. Don't ever forget that. That was true then. It was true today. It is true today. And if we do anything that's according to God's will, there is no power. There is nothing on the earth or even in heaven that can stop that from taking place. That's how powerful God is. Come to that conclusion, and there's no limit to what you can accomplish in the kingdom. So in closing, we want to talk about the right, just a little bit right ways to draw conclusions in the church. Think of Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. There's a good conclusion there. There's a good conclusion because I'm trusting the Creator of all things. I'm trusting the Almighty God. I'm trusting the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. I'm trusting Jesus. That he will do what he said he will do. And I'm doing that with all my heart. And I'm just putting away my own understanding. And when I do that, He directs my paths. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and in verse 17, what did Paul say? If anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Why? Because we came to the right conclusion that Christ is the Lord of Lords. Every child of God must be careful about trusting your feelings. And no wonder, right? Satan, that old devil, he transforms himself into an angel of light. And that angel of light is going to affect your feelings. You're going to feel like this is the right thing to do. In the Lord's church, we're inundated all the time. We're attacked all the time by weaker brethren who want us to build kitchens and dining halls and be parts of an institutional church organization. Bad conclusion, isn't it? Let God be true, and let every man be a liar. If we would just weigh all the facts before we conclude. You think of 2 Samuel chapter 11 and 12, what happened? David didn't weigh the facts, did he? David's up on his little patio, and he's looking down at Bathsheba, and he forgets about the facts. He forgets about what God's feelings or thoughts are about adultery or fornication, and he goes out and he thinks to himself, well, if I just kill her husband, I can have her, and all will be good. Wrong conclusion. And we know it's a wrong conclusion. We know it's a wrong conclusion because in chapter 12, David's first son, his son that he had with Bathsheba, dies. Naaman comes and tells David, you're the man. And as a result of that, your son died. If we would just think about all the things before you make a decision, before you come to a conclusion. In Matthew chapter 17 and in verse 9, we read that Jesus is risen. Come to that conclusion. In Ephesians chapter 2 and in verse 13, we who were once afar off are now brought near by the blood of Christ. There's a good conclusion. We're looking at the facts. We're looking at what the mighty God of creation has told us in His Word. In John chapter 14, verses 2 and 3, Jesus says, He says, I'm going to go and prepare a place for you. So what should your conclusion be? Get prepared. Why? Because He said, I'm coming back to receive you unto myself so that where I am, you may be also. The right conclusion would be to take all that in and say, I need to be prepared. He's coming back for me. I'm not going to live like I'm a loss. I'm not going to live as though I've been defeated by the devil. I'm living in victory. Because I come to the right conclusion in my Father's house. My Father's house. Jesus is there. He's making a place. And we need to live like that. Draw that conclusion. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 24, then comes the end. Right? When Jesus comes and He takes the kingdom, we just read that in 2 Thessalonians chapter 4. He takes that kingdom, raises it up into the air, and it's going to be delivered to the Father. And everything else will be destroyed. So what should the proper conclusion be? I want to be with the Father. I don't want to be down here. I don't want to be left down here. But it's all going to be destroyed. Romans 1 and 16, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. That's a good conclusion Paul made. Why did he make that conclusion? Because he knew it was the power of God unto salvation. Think about these things. That's the end of the lesson. The end is that you need to make good conclusions. And I pray that you've benefited in some way, some small way, from the lesson. Now, it's a very poor standard to trust your feelings. Remember what Paul said, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. God saves. Through the blood of Christ, He can save you. Have you concluded that you don't need to be saved? I would put it to you, that's the wrong conclusion. You don't need Jesus? That's the wrong conclusion. And if you did make that conclusion, did you do that because of a bias? Did you do that because of a lack of information? Well, we've given you the information. Have you done that because you're just dismissing the truths that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God? Are you dismissing the fact that He said, "He who believes and is baptized shall be saved"? I hope not. But if you're here today, know this, that as long as you have breath, you can switch conclusions. You can stop disobeying. You can stop being without faith and disbelief. You can take the information that you're lacking. You can put away your bias. And you can hang on to the facts that are pertinent, and that is that Jesus is the Savior. And you can come to the same conclusion as millions of people before you, that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And you can make that confession today if you have need. I do appreciate your attention, and if you have any need whatsoever this day, I invite you to come forward as we stand and as we sing.